Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I promise we are going to focus more on Packers-Bears as this week continues, but this was just too interesting, especially the way that Adam Schefter worded it. And we'll talk more with Schefty tomorrow when he joins us. You know, he's been off the last couple of weeks with the holidays. We haven't had shows on Wednesday, so I'm really excited to talk to Adam Schefter tomorrow at 7:30 here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But he does weekly hits all over the place, and here's what he had to say. ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter as it pertains to the Green Bay Packers and their head coach Matt LaFleur in his contract negotiations with the Packers.
Well, it wouldn't be a media decision. It would be, I believe, a policy decision as the president of the team succeeding Mark Murphy. He is the one in charge of those decisions. And you know, Matt LaFleur was asked about his job security this year and commented on it, which led to about a week worth of speculation. And again, I feel the same way about Matt LaFleur that I do Kevin Stefanski if they moved on. And he's going to be going into the last year of his deal. I think he'd get a job in this cycle as well. So I don't think it'd be much of an issue. I think the bigger deal here is, can they figure out a contract of fair value to keep him there? I think that's what this is about, them trying to negotiate a contract, seeing what they can come up with, seeing if they get a deal done. If they get the deal done, it's a non-talking point, and his future is secure there. If they can't figure out a contract that works for both sides, well, then you have to ask yourself, are they willing to let him go into the last year of his deal, which he would be, or what do you do about that? And very rarely do teams want coaches going into the last year of their deal, which I believe the priority will be to re-sign him to an extension this offseason. And let's see what happens with that first.
When you hear that, Chew, what do you think of the way Schefty kind of phrased the way he put that out there?
Well, let me just start here. I think the only way they move on LaFleur, because I would say that Halfley and LaFleur are equally as good as what they do when it comes to coordinating. Would you agree with that, Gabe?
I would say. I don't know how good of a head coach Jeff Halfley is in the NFL.
Well,
but
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If and I feel that Halfley will be gone at the end of the season. The only way I see LaFleur getting replaced is if, and Holmgren used to use this term all the time, is if policy believes that Halfley is a better leader of men. Because that's different than being a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You got to be a good coordinator, number one, but when you're a head coach, you have to be able to lead. And if policy believes that Halfley may be better at that, maybe he makes a change. Now, when it comes to the contract, the hang-up is going to be the amount of years. Because LaFleur hasn't done anything, man. He hasn't. He hasn't won an NFC championship game. If you put him up against Holmgren and McCarthy, their resume is better. So policy is not going to want to sign him, I believe, to a 4 or 5 year deal. I think it's going to be a 2 year. It's going to be a here, we'll give you some money, but I'm still not sold on you type of deal. That's how I think.
Well, the problem is, the Packers don't have the leverage in this situation. They just don't.
Well, they got the leverage to fire him.
Sure, but then Matt LaFleur is just going to go out and get the contract that he wants. Because the open market would give LaFleur a 4 or 5 year deal, $13 million a year, things like that. Like, that's... And now you're stuck having to go through the hiring cycle.
But we've been spinning wheels here for a long time, Gabe, and I don't know. I'd have a tough time rewarding them when the last 3 years you've been the seventh seed in the playoffs and you haven't gone anywhere. You know? They choose to be a young team. Whether that's LaFleur
but that's
or
not
Goody.
On the, that's not on LaFleur. That's on Goody.
Yeah.
That's not a LaFleur decision.
I would agree.
That they are equals. One of them is in charge of coaching the roster. The other one's in charge of putting it together. And the guy in charge of putting it together made the decision, and he's seemingly safe. Like, everywhere you look, it seems like, oh, yeah, they're going to figure out whatever with Brian Gutekunst. It seems like this is the part. I feel it's worth noting, when he came in, it was about $5 million per year. Now, obviously, he has signed an extension since that first deal, and him and Goody are right now – We'll see if that continues, tied at the hip in terms of their contracts and the length of them. We'll see if that changes in this cycle. I don't know what he made with the contract extension that he eventually got off of the original contract. Like, I don't know how much he's making, because for whatever reason, that's always a mystery. You know, every once in a while, something like Ben Johnson, his contract got leaked out. He's making $13 million a year. Like when John Gruden signed his big contract, that got out. It was 10 years, $100 million when he was with the Raiders all those years ago when he had signed to come back to the NFL. So every once in a while, it does leak. But if you know that Ben Johnson's making $13 million per year and you're Matt LaFleur, all right, that's where the bidding starts,
I know, but
right?
All I can go off of when it comes to Ed Policy, because like Jason stated, we don't know him. All I can go off of is how his father ran the San Francisco 49ers.
Sure, and but like that has nothing to do with Ed.
He fired Bill Walsh, one of the greatest coaches in NFL history,
yep.
And then he moved on very quickly from George Seifert after he won a Super Bowl. So,
one of those worked, moving on for Bill Walsh. George Seifert won. The other one did not.
So you wouldn't have a problem with LaFleur signing a five-year deal for $13 million a year?
Nope. That's the going rate, man. Because here's the other thing, Chewy. It's not my money.
You can still fire him.
Yeah, like, who cares? Pay him the money. You got almost $600 million in the kitty.
This isn't how Green Bay operates. You know that when they negotiate with players.
I guess I just don't care. Don't be cheap for one time. Like, just take care of this. And if you got to fire him, Chew, fire him. It's not like it's coming out of Ed Policy's personal account when you got to pay the money to him.
No, I know.
They got $600 million in the bank, man.
Gabe. Mark Murphy went to the town of Green Bay and wanted the discount.
I understand.
For a team that makes $225 million or whatever, the check they got at the end of the year. That's just how they operate.
Yeah, no, and that was dumb. Pay your bleeping rent, especially when it's just $1 million.
Yeah.
I think what was interesting and what stuck out to me about Shefty's comments was the apparent shift in leverage, and it sounds like, if I'm to parse through the words, now Adam didn't say this specifically, is LaFleur's camp realizes they have the leverage here. Because if you don't like the terms, you say, I'll play it out. We'll figure out what happens. Once coaching free agency hits, I will make a bet that I'll be the number one candidate and probably the highest paid candidate. So either we make a deal here where you guarantee me X amount of money, or I put you in a spot where you have the lame duck, which you said you don't want to have. It seems like Ed Policy's words of lame duck and we don't want those are now working against him, because the leverage is on the highly successful head coach that has like more regular season wins than any young coach. Like, that to me is him telling all of us, hey, he's going to get his, because the way this season got treated and the uncertainty and the we're not going to let there be lame ducks. Well, guess what? Now I get paid. Now I get mine. It's a version of what Craig Counsell did, just with a different team.
But how many years do we have to put up with this, though? That's the thing.
You put up with it for as long as you'd like.
Yeah, who cares? You fire him and you pay him to go away. Like, I guess I just don't care.
You write in the same thing. The same thing.
I'm asking you, though. But what if next year's another?
Then you fire him. And then you write in language of offset.
I mean, but again, if he goes and wins another playoff game this year, like if they go in and beat Chicago, which is very possible.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like, I mean,
what if they lose?
I'm still paying the guy. Like, anytime that the rest of the division is hoping you fire the coach.
All right, Gabe, let me ask you this.
Yep.
All right. Say Ben Johnson went back for another year and he's available this year. And you tampered and he's like, I'd be willing to come there.
I'd take LaFleur over Ben. I take LaFleur over Ben.
Josh?
Yeah. Do I have the knowledge of what I just saw this year and it's seemingly working pretty well? Because without it, there's no chance. Like, make it Ben Johnson from last year and you tell me, would you trade Matt LaFleur for Ben Johnson? Every single person says no.
Like, everybody loves Kevin O'Connell, right? Everybody loves Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
What has he done? You want to start comparing resumes? That one pales in comparison. He's been the coach for 4 years. Dave, he's only made Chewy. He's been the coach for 4 years. He's made 2 playoffs. He's 0-2 in the playoffs.
Yeah, but everyone wants to make excuses for their franchise, and he's certainly got, hey, I wanted Darnold back. My GM didn't want to pay him.
Sure. But right? I'm just saying, like, I also think there is something to, you look around the league, and the ones that have the most success are the ones that are most stable. And firing coaches after they make the postseason typically don't work out for the teams that fire those coaches. You let them see it through.
I just have a problem tolerating this garbage that's gone on for the last couple of years.
What garbage? Problem. Making the playoffs?
Yeah, because I don't give attaboys to team that make playoffs. I give attaboys to guys that go to Super Bowls. Maybe not necessarily win, but go.
But also, that's like really hard to do, right? Like Brett in year three.
It's not that hard.
What were you guys in year three with Brett?
Hurt.
You were. No, not you. Not
hey, everyone you. Gets excuses.
Not,
that's my excuse.
Not
we were hurt.
You specifically, the team. Oh. I wasn't talking about you specifically. You guys were 9-7. You went to the playoffs. You won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where Jordan is right now. Like, he's still, you know, like, I just look at this and I look at how many teams have fired head coaches. I mean, what, Tampa? Is that the one that worked out?
You don't sound like you're disappointed. You don't sound disappointed.
Because I'm not disappointed yet because it seems like you've given up on the season. It seems like you've given up on the season. Like, I'm not disappointed because the season's not over yet, Chew. Is being the 7th seed disappointing? Absolutely. But I also can see the through line of Micah getting hurt, that defense tanking, and then Jordan not being able to play for 2.5 games, and the offense not being at what it was. Like, when you play...
See, and I look at it in a whole different light. I look at it as Minnesota's season was garbage. They were a terrible team. They were crap. But you know what? At the end of the day, they were a half a game worse than Green Bay was.
Yeah, because you want to know why? Because the Packers punted on the last game. All right, if Jordan Love plays that game, do they beat Minnesota, and then it's a game and a half? Does that make you feel better?
Not really.
Okay, then that to me just doesn't matter. Like, you're in the playoffs, they're not. And they would, yeah, good for them that they fought. They missed out on the playoffs. Like, the Packers are in the playoffs. I'm not punting on the season yet. And yes, it's disappointing because I thought you were in control of potentially winning the division. But... like, man, firing good head coaches just because tell me a time it's worked out.
No, I get it.
Tell me a time it's worked out for a team.
How much longer are we spinning wheels? And I'm not saying it's time, but how much longer are we going to spin wheels? How much longer are you going to – like Baltimore, that's a disastrous season. When you were picked
– and guess what? They missed the playoffs.
To win it all – mm-hmm. But would you feel better if they did make that field goal and they lose? You think Baltimore's feeling better?
Yeah, because
they make that field goal
honestly,
and then they lose.
Honestly,
and then
they lose. They're a dangerous team. Like them going on the road them hosting Houston, I think, is a lot different than Pittsburgh hosting Houston.
I mean, everyone's talking about it, Gabe. Pittsburgh. There was a time during the season. Hey. Tomlin's got to go.
Yeah.
Harbaugh,
but how long
now
has,
they're having a sit-down meeting.
But they've been there, Chewy, for 18, 19 years.
No, I know.
Not 6. Or 7, excuse me. This is year 7 with Matt LaFleur.
I believe it's 8. I think it's 8.
It's not.
It feels like 8.
I don't care.
Josh, it's 8.
It's not.
Nope, can't. Nope, not how that works.
Right. I don't understand what just happened. Nope, it's 8.
It feels like I'm going. Like, I have a friend down here.
Yeah.
We're both the same age, and she was trying to convince me that we're going to be 56. And it feels like 56.
And okay.
It's not. It's 57. But I'm going to tell everyone I'm 56.
Sure. But, like, it doesn't change the fact that you're not, that you're 57, and Matt LaFleur, this is year 7.
That's why I think
next year's year 8.
You should
this is
measure
how counting works.
Age by moons. It sounds much better. We had this conversation before. I'm 72 moons.
We'll see if Chewy found a power rankings and see if the moons factor into the power rankings. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What was a rebound? Rebound? What did you just say?
Robust.
Robust. Robust.
You could say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice rebound. Word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat. Well, you're rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Do you have one? Are you ready for this, big guy?
I'm legit. Yep.
All right, let's get to
it's
power
Chewy's
rankings.
Favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay, we are ranking all 14, Gabe.
Ooh, all 14?
Little extra work this week. All 14, I'm taking a peek. La la lo la lay, and I don't agree with it. So, okay. With that being said, Joshy, you're in the mix too here, buddy.
Well, I gave you this list, so I can't really do it. So we're just going to let Gabe rifle through these.
Well, you looked at the list? Why did you look at the list?
I had to. I was sending it to you. I was doing the legwork.
I don't know. All right,
Where did you find the list?
It's Fox Fox Sports.
Okay.
I don't know why ESPN. ESPN did one last year. There, maybe the guy slept in. All right, Gabe. 14.
14's easy. That's Carolina.
Carolina. Rams work them. I believe they do.
Yeah. That is the biggest line of the weekend. The Rams, despite losing there earlier this year, favored by 10.
Okay, 13.
I will say Pittsburgh.
You are 2-0. Pittsburgh is 13. Let me ask you this. If the Ravens beat them, where would the Ravens have been? Would you have taken them at 13?
No, I think they'd probably climb up a little bit.
Little
I would
higher.
Say just. I would say probably 11. I don't know if I put them in the top 10.
Okay.
But that would be, by the way, Drew, I think Baltimore would have been the team that nobody wanted to face.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay, fair. All right, 12.
This is where the Green Bay Packers are.
You're correct. You're hot. You want to use Fox Sports a little more often, a little more dialed in, although it's going to suck in a minute. Green Bay is 13. Give me 11. 12, sorry.
Yep. 12. I'll say the Chargers are number 11.
Yes, I don't think I agree with that, though.
They're beat up, man. Their quarterback's playing with a broken hand. Both, I mean, the fact that they've gotten to the playoffs is remarkable, that they won 11 games, because they just, it seemed like for a while there, just about every week, they were suffering a devastating injury. Both tackles are gone. Yeah, it's.
You think that's, you know what? I mean, I would say Jim Harbaugh and Campbell in mm-hmm. Detroit are kind of come from the same tree, same school of thought.
Yeah.
You think they're too hard on their players? Because I saw that last year Detroit had like 27 players on IR.
Yep.
This year they had 25.
So you think that has something to do with how hard they go in training camp?
It might be. I don't know. We can dive into that in the offseason. 10.
A.O.
10 is the Chicago Bears.
Oh.
I think I would have put the Chargers ahead of Chicago.
Okay.
I think Green Bay, Chicago feels like a 10-11.
I mean, yeah,
they're
pretty close,
you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty close. 9.
Wow. This is, okay, Buffalo.
This is San Fran.
Jeez.
Is San Fran a team you don't want to play?
Yeah, because their offense can put up points. Now, you can put up points with them. It's just going to go back and forth.
Is that going to be a really good game, you think, against the Eagles? I mean, good
no,
defense
if the
against
Eagles are
great
involved,
offense.
It's going to suck.
What? I say that again?
I said the Eagles are involved, it's going to suck. They make every game gross.
Yeah, but I mean, you have really good offense against really good defense and then bad
really
offense.
Bad offense against bad defense. Yeah.
Ugh.
Does that sound, exactly. Yeah. Does that sound like something that's entertaining? Meanwhile, that is the main event. That's the, because you know the biggest game is Sunday 3:30. That
Which
is like
is
the biggest game. That's where they wanted to put the biggest game. Apparently, I was reading yesterday, Chew.
Yeah.
Every network wanted Packers Bears or Eagles Niners. But the NFL decided to do Amazon Prime a solid and put them there because they know that people are going to watch Packers Bears no matter what.
So who has that slot?
That's a Fox game.
No. I'm saying who has that 3:30.
This game, San Francisco and Philly.
Oh, that's not bad. I don't mind. I'll watch that. 8 game.
I'm just going to keep guessing Buffalo.
A. O'Brien D's. Can they win it all?
If Josh Allen plays like Superman for the next month. But if he's not almost perfect in every game, it's going to be tough for them. And they start in a tough spot. I love Jacksonville. They're playing better than anybody right now.
They are playing real well. I wonder why they didn't add his name with Tomlin and Harbaugh. McDermott. He's had a lot of time there to do some things.
And that could be
a guy that's done nothing.
If they go into Jacksonville and they lay an egg, I would not be surprised.
To fire him or put him on the hot seat? Come on.
If they go in and lay an egg. Now, if it's a close competitive game,
yeah.
Like again, I think their general manager needs to, you know, look inward because it's not a very good roster.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, interesting. 7.
Houston.
Philadelphia Freedom.
Okay, but Houston and Philly are kind of the same.
No, Houston's a team you don't want to play. Philly's just lazy.
Why is Houston a team you don't want to play versus Philadelphia?
Their D is so good.
So is Philly's. That's what I'm saying. They're both really great. I mean, those are probably the top two defenses.
Philly's just uninspired.
Well, Seattle's probably in there. So that's two of the top three defenses in the playoffs are Philly and Houston, and both the offenses stink. They're the AFC and NFC versions of each other.
Philly just feels to me like they feel they can flip a switch and there are no switches in football. 6.
So you said Philly was 7, right?
Yep.
So Houston's 6.
Correct. Houston is 6. This is where I don't like it. 5.
Rams?
Yes. I think they should be higher. Why?
They're a wild card team, man.
I know, but they haven't been playing with Devontae. Devontae makes a difference there. They're gonna beat Carolina handily. 4.
Jacksonville.
New England.
Mmm. That's interesting.
3.
Denver. Jacksonville's 2? Jacksonville's 2? They should 2, be. They're playing better than anyone. Seattle's 1. Yeah, Seattle's 1.
Is there a gap?
No.
Seattle clearly the best team or no? There's no gap.
I think they're the best team, but when you lead the league in turnovers,
yeah,
I don't know if there's a gap. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if there is a gap with a lot of these teams.
It was fine. It wasn't great. I would have changed some things up, but you nailed the top end of it.
Yeah.
You did all right.
Rob Domofsky had some issues yesterday, couldn't join us, so he joins us. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Once again, Rob.
He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Typically on Mondays, we talk to Rob, talking to him on Tuesday, but we welcome in our pal from ESPN.com, Rob Domofsky. Good morning, Rob. How's everything today? Everything good now? You set?
There were issues yesterday. I found out what happens when you get a flat tire on a rental car. Leaving Minneapolis, pulling out of the stadium at about, I don't know, I guess it was about 7:30, thinking, 4 hours home, I'll be home by 11:30. Just getting on 94, hit a pothole, boom, tire blows up. So I pull over. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the company, but they did a hell of a job. National rental car, you call their helpline. They sent somebody over to change the tire. The problem is, it's one of those, you know, those little tiny spare tires.
It's the donut.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how far are you going? I'm like, well, to Green Bay. And they're like, well, not on this tire, you're not. And I had to go to the airport, which was all the way. I had to backtrack to the airport, exchange the car. That took a little bit of time, but not too bad. Finally got a new car. Long story short, got home at about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. took a handful of melatonin and just slept right through the radio hit. Well, because you know you're trying to stay awake driving, right?
Oh,
so you're,
yeah.
Then you're wired and you can't go to sleep when
not
you get
when
home.
You get home. Nope.
So handful of gum melatonin gummies and never even heard my alarm. Never heard you guys call. Well,
we're glad you were able to figure that out. And now everybody knows what happens if you get a flat tire in your rental car.
Yeah, call them. Don't call AAA. You call the company, and they'll take care of it. They had a guy out there exchanging putting the donut on within 30 minutes.
Which, oh, wow.
Anybody who's had a flat tire and had to wait on the side of the road for a tow truck or somebody, it usually takes an hour or two.
Yeah, that is fast service. So in the game, this is where I started with Jason as well when he joined us earlier today. So I want to ask, since you were there, are there any players, because I think we're dismissing the offensive performance, but defensively I thought they held up for a bunch of backups playing mostly starters. Are there any players on the defense that you saw in the game on Sunday that you think could have a role on the defense going forward in the postseason?
Yeah, I'm glad you put it that way, Gabe, because, there were some guys that played well, but does it matter because, the starters are coming back? I do think there were a couple, and I think it starts with Baron Sorrell. He showed some run-stopping ability. I think it was a third and one. He jumped in there and stopped the run. He got after the quarterback. He played really well. And given the issues that they've had with Rashawn Gary not playing, more than half the snaps, Lucas Van Ness, and obviously not having Micah. I think he will get some rotational snaps and should get some rotational snaps. Trevon Diggs is the other big one, right? Did you see enough to say we were going to start him at cornerback instead of Carrington Valentine? And we asked Matt LaFleur that after the game, and he would not rule out that possibility. So I thought Diggs tackled well, which is something that they desperately need at that position. I don't know, Gabe, though, that we saw enough of his coverage to know whether he could hold up or not.
Did they pull him at some point in the game? Because I don't remember him being out there late in the fourth quarter, and then I looked at the snap chart after the game. He only played, I think it was 49% of the snaps.
Yeah, I think it was 32 out of 65 or something like that. I think they pulled him because that tells you they probably didn't want him to get hurt. They saw enough. If he was going to just, if he was not going to be a factor, they probably would have just let him finish the game. But that tells me, and again, why sort of we asked if he could start, that tells me they're thinking about it at least.
Rob, what's the locker room like? I mean, you've been around false chatter before and, going through the motions and type. Are they there or do they actually believe that they can do something in the playoffs?
Yeah, some of the times, Chewy, you don't know it's false chatter till after the fact, right? Like, it's hard to tell. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say that I think it's legit, and they all seem to be sharing the same message. Jordan Love talked to the team after the game, which I think is it's a good thing for a quarterback leader to do. And in the locker room, in the Metrodome, got everybody together and delivered a message that says, "Hey, it's time to go. This is the real deal now." I always used to joke that or Brett used to always joke that like, now you're going to start playing because it's the playoffs? Well, in this case, they didn't play in the finale, so I guess it actually applies in this. But, I always used to, appreciate Brett saying, you're just going to try harder now? Why weren't you trying as hard before? So, but I do think in this case, maybe it applies.
I just remember the mindset, Rob, in 98 when we went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
The TO game where it's not that we didn't try.
No.
We knew we weren't good enough. We got blown out twice by Minnesota. They were in front of us. Atlanta was just coming off of a Super Bowl. We would have had to go there. I mean, players aren't stupid. I'm just
Right. And what happened to Minnesota, though, right? Wasn't that their 15-1
season? Yeah, they lose. Yeah.
Shout out to Gary Anderson. Atlanta.
Yeah. But, to that point in that season, there might be some parallel because I think we all kind of had a feeling Mike Holmgren was out the door. The year before at Super Bowl 32, there was talk of him, going somewhere where he could be coach and GM. And, this year there is some uncertainty around Matt LaFleur and his status. So I do, there is a parallel there. But I go back to Chewy. I just don't know, at least from us, from the outside, you just never know what's real and what's not until after the fact.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you brought up Matt LaFleur. Did you see the comments that your colleague Adam Schefter had yesterday about the Matt LaFleur situation?
No, I probably slept through that too.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's play it for you and get your reaction. Okay. This is what Adam Schefter had to say about Matt LaFleur and the Packers yesterday on the Pat McAfee show.
Team succeeding Mark Murphy. He is the one in charge of those decisions. And you know, Matt LaFleur was asked about his job security this year and commented on it, which led to about a week worth of speculation. And again, I feel the same way about Matt LaFleur that I do Kevin Stefanski. If they moved on and he's going to be going into the last year of his deal, I think he'd get a job in this cycle as well. So I don't think it'd be much of an issue. I think the bigger deal here is, can they figure out a contract of fair value to keep him there? I think that's what this is about, them trying to negotiate a contract, seeing what they can come up with, seeing if they get a deal done. If they get the deal done, it's a non-talking point, and his future is secure there. If they can't figure out a contract that works for both sides, well, then you have to ask yourself, are they willing to let him go into the last year of his deal, which he would be, or what do you do about that? And very rarely do teams want coaches going into the last year of their deal, which I believe the priority will be to re-sign him to an extension this offseason. And let's see what happens with that first.
Can they come to a contract that is a fair deal between the two of them, I think, is the big highlight there.
I agree.
So it seems like now we're past the, oh, do they want him back? It seems like we've moved into their negotiating phase.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think that the salary and you know, where it ranks among all the other head coaches is an issue. Now, if he goes in and says, I want to be paid, you know, like Andy Reid and Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh, I don't know if they do it. Now, to me, you shouldn't – if you think he's the coach, you pay him whatever you have to have, you know. You don't – to me, I guess what I'm trying to say, Gabe, is we don't say, oh, we want him as the coach if it's $12 million, but we don't want him as the coach if it's $16. Either you think he's the guy – or you don't, and then you just figure out the money. And I still think I really and I think Adam's right about that. There is negotiating and jockeying going on, but I really believe that everything remains on the table from people, you know, that I've talked to, that they could sign him to an extension, they could let him go in and play out the last year, they could move on, he could choose not to sign an extension and say trade me. I think any of the possible scenarios remain on the table. I really do.
Well, Gabe, you know, Gabe's stance is I don't really care about the money. It doesn't affect the cap. But that's not how Green Bay operates. You had a president two years ago that tried to get a rent reduction when he's getting a check for $300 million from the, you know. This is a cost-conscious organization, so they're not going to go, hey, Matt, here's a five-year deal, $13 million average.
Yeah, no, they're not. There's definitely not a blank check situation, Chewy. But here's the thing that nobody knows, and you know, we just haven't seen Ed Policy in this position before, right? Ed has never, you know, I think Ed's really fit and a good pick for the job. I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form, but he's never run a team before, and he's never had to. We don't know what his history is. Now, you can talk about his dad. You know, he moved on from these legendary coaches. Well, you know, like we talked about last week, Chewy, you're not just, you know, just because your dad is something doesn't mean that you're the same way. But we just we don't know. We don't know Ed's thinking. Ed's very close to the vest. But I do think, you know, from what I can gather, I'm not 100% sure a decision has been made one way or another yet.
Whenever the season ends, whether that's Sunday in Chicago, whether that's, you know, if they win that game, then down the line, do you think that they come to a resolution rather quick after the season ends?
I do. I don't think this is going to be, unless it's, we're not doing anything and you're leaving, you know, you're stuck with this contract in one more year.
That to me, Rob.
They have to make some sort of announcement. And look, I know Ed said over the summer, I don't like lame duck, you know, GMs and head coaches, but maybe he's changed his mind on that. I don't think that's the right way to go. Adam said, it very rarely happens. And Mike McCarthy did it. And, you know, look what happened. He ended up not, you know, getting another contract after they just played out the deal in Dallas.
I think, again, I'm curious both of your thoughts on this, because of all the possible scenarios that you just laid out, Rob, I think the riskiest one is just playing out the year. Like, yeah. I feel playing out a one-year contract is not good for anybody. I don't think it's good for LaFleur. I don't think it's good for the Packers. I think that's the riskiest proposition for everybody if that's the route they go.
Yeah, it puts way too much – I don't want to say pressure because there's pressure on every season. But it's every tiny little thing will be under a microscope, and which is exactly what it was in Dallas in Mike McCarthy's last year. If you remember, even before when they fired McCarthy – that offseason, he had 1 year left on his deal, and they actually added a year to that contract. They did it very quietly and very secretly, and nobody knew about it, I think, until after Mike got fired. But, it's whatever they do, and I think they need to make it clear publicly what happens. Like, they can't just do an extension and not tell anybody. They can't not do an extension and not tell anybody. Like, it's important for next season's success or failure, how they handle it both privately and publicly.
Rob, with six head coach openings after yesterday, you think Halfley's gone?
You know, I thought so like a couple weeks ago, just not, thinking about who all the other candidates are. Then, Chewy, once you start to see these reports that, this team wants to interview this guy, this team wants to interview that guy, there's a lot of candidates out there. There really are. More than I guess maybe there's not like a Ben Johnson, but there are a lot of people getting interviews. And, Matt LaFleur was probably not on anybody's high list when the Packers interviewed him, and he blew him away in the interview process. So, maybe one of these guys goes in that you don't think is going to be a top tier candidate and blows an owner or GM away and they hire him. And that, that could hurt a guy like Jeff Halfley. But I do think he's going to get interviews at least one, if not multiple interviews, and then it's up to him what he can do with it. But I thought a while ago, and this is not a reflection of how the Packers played on defense down the stretch, it really isn't, it's just a matter of I realized there was a lot more candidates than maybe I thought, and good candidates. I thought maybe there was a better than 50-50 chance he was a head coach next year. Now I would say it's probably slightly lower than that, still probably 60-40 or 40-60 for him getting a head coaching job, but I don't think it's a slam dunk by any means.
Your thoughts on the Packers matchup against the Bears? This is the one they wanted, right? They wanted to go to Chicago versus going to Philly.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur can say after if they win this game, boy, I sure enjoyed beating Ben Johnson twice this year because he will have beaten him twice. Whoever wins this game will get to say that.
Or I guess it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we rested our players.
Yeah, right, exactly. We saw how they played against the Bears for 59 minutes, right, or 58 minutes, whatever it was. They should feel good about that. They should have confidence going in there. They should have good health. I think it's a very, very winnable game. I really do.
Rob, we always appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you next week, hopefully after a Packers victory.
All right, sounds good, guys. We'll be seeing you.
Rob Domofsky joins us Mondays. Had some issues yesterday, so he joined us Tuesday this week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You can join wrestling legend Kevin Nash January 31st at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel for an elevated viewing experience of the Royal Rumble. Our podcast, GKW, Good Karma Wrestling, we're going to be there doing a live show before with Kevin. Going to do a live reaction show after as well. But this is my favorite pro wrestling event of the year. I absolutely love it. You can watch your favorite WWE superstars battle it out in the match of the year. It's going to be happening in the annex of Pottawatomie Casino. Here's how you get in to the Royal Rumble party at Pottawatomie. For $100 a ticket, you get two complimentary drinks, an unlimited buffet access, a photo, and autographs. You get access to the legendary Kevin Nash, $25 in reward or match play to your favorite games on Pottawatomie, and a shot at winning your own WWE Championship belt. Secure your spot. Just visit Pottawatomie's website today and enjoy January 31st, the Royal Rumble at Pottawatomie with GKW and Kevin Nash.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold can be good, too.
Yeah, well, no. Cold can be good. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You seemed a little shocked there, big guy.
At what?
Rob's answer to you, because, again, you've been, foregone conclusion, Halfley's gone. Rob's not in that camp. Now, he still thinks there's a chance he gets a job, but he doesn't think it's a foregone conclusion.
I just don't know who all the candidates are. I haven't been really hearing.
So Stefanski has already set up interviews. Matt Nagy is someone that I know Tennessee is seemingly highly interested in. Again, you can't Halfley can't go on an interview now until the Packers season is done, or if they make the Super Bowl, you would be able to talk to him in the week in between.
I just don't understand the regurge. I'm not a big regurge guy. Never have been. You?
It depends. I mean, your guy is like the biggest example of how a regurge worked.
Who?
Andy.
What are you talking about? In Philly?
So he got fired.
Sick of it.
So he got fired from Philly.
He wanted to get fired.
And then he went to Kansas City.
Yeah, but
therefore being
good.
A regurge.
That's the difference. Would you like to get rid of LaFleur and hire Matt Nagy?
No.
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 That's what I mean by regurge.
That is not
I don't mind regurge if it's, you know, if I'm throwing up, you know, a steak, yeah, it's not going to be as good as the first time it went down, but probably not bad. If I'm throwing up broccoli, no, I'm spitting it out.
I think this is maybe work on this analogy because.
No, I thought that was pinpoint.
I am just going to go on record. I can't believe I have to do this, but I am going on record and saying that all vomit is bad vomit. I don't care what I ate before. It's all coming out bad. None of it's good.
Not according to birds.
Because, yeah, you're a bird brain. How about that?
That's fair. Why was Josh silent during that?
Willie and Tausch, they're coming up next here at 94.5 ESPN.